Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvachim Daf Lamed Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will be commencing from the fifth line from the top of Daf Lamed Ches. On that line, you will notice a diamond form around the word Vitona, and in addition to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, you will find a Roman numeral number 2. If there's a 2, there must have been a number 1, but you don't see it here on Lamed Ches. It appeared on Daf Lamed Zayin Omid Beis. It was really there that we provided an introduction to the sugya, but briefly stated, we are looking for sources, or the Gemara is presenting sources for the teaching in the Mishnah that Beis Hillel says, if you apply only one of the four matnos dam, four blood applications to the altar, to the mizbeach, you are yotze. Once again, that a chatos korban, a sin offering, which the Torah expects one to offer four matnos dam, if you do one, you are yotze. From where does Beis Hillel know that? So we saw Rav Huna present his approach. And in fact, the Gemara had two approaches under the name Rav Huna for Beis Hillel, and that was illustrated on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis with a little Aleph and Beis that you can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text on the lower part of the page. We're now going to see another approach to the din of Beis Hillel. One matan stam is sufficient by a chatas. V'tona maisi lo mehacha, and the Tana in a Tanaic source derives it from the following. We open up a source, and you can see a Tanaic source in the marking system. Those are the sections of the Gemara that are framed off. This sets them apart, the Tanaic literature, apart from the rest of the Gemara literature. The source opens up with a citation of a word that appears in three separate parshios dealing with a korban chatas. V'chiper, v'chiper, v'chiper. Mipnei hadin. This is a very brief, abbreviated line, but what the Bryce is telling us, that I need the psukim to, in effect, reduce the number of absolutely required matnas domim by a korban chatos, because without the psukim, I would have thought, and the expression mitnei hadin tells me that without the pasuk, I would have thought that all of the matnas dam, all of the dam applications, all four are required, and without which one would not be yotze. So once again, the Bryce is telling us that as a result of psukim, I am able to reduce the required or the absolutely necessary numbers of matnas dam to one, because otherwise I would have thought that all four are ma'akev. The Bryce now makes a turnaround and asks, what do you really need a pasuk for? Even without the psukim, I could have known that one is sufficient. V'halo dinhu. Even without the psukim, I could have known that one is sufficient. Now, how would we go about that? Nemru domim lemato, v'nemru domim lemalo. The Torah talks about matnas dam, four sacrifices that are done below, lamata means below the midpoint of the mizbeach, below the chut hasikra, which is a red line that denoted the halfway point of the height of the mizbeach. And we also have domim, blood applications regarding korbanos that are done above. For example, the korban chatas, which is done above the midway point of the mizbeach. Ma domim, ma matan domim hu amurim lamata. Just like the matan domim, the application of blood for korbanos that are expected to be done on the lower part of the mizbeach, shenosnon b'maton achas kiper, we know from the pasuk of dam zvochecha yishofech that one matona, one blood application is sufficient, even though there are many of those korbanos that are done under the halfway point that have more than one blood application, but the pasuk reveals to us that one is sufficient. Af domim hu'amurim lamala, through a method of comparison called binyanav, simply comparing topics, we can conclude that the chatos, which is the gist, which is the central point of this entire Gemara, so to the chatos, which is done above, shenosnon b'matona achas kiper, that one blood application would be sufficient. However, maybe there's another direction to take in this approach, namely through the logical approach. Because beforehand, we said that, hey, what do I need the psukim for? Through logic, I can come to the conclusion that one is enough. But at this point, the Bryce is saying, hold up. Oklach l'derech zu, or maybe go this way, and you'll see that we, through logical application, you won't necessarily conclude that one is enough. For example, Nemru domen bifni v'nemru domen bachutz. There are chatas offerings that are done, their blood application is done inside the heichal, in the enclosed part of the Beis HaMikdash. V'nemru domen bachutz, and of course there are korbanos that are done in the outside, in the azora, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Ma domim ha'amurim bifnim chiser achas min ha'matonos lo osu v'lo klum. Just like in the case of the internal sin offerings, the chatos ha'pnimios, if you miss one of the applications, there are multiple applications by the chatos ha'pnimios. If you miss one of them, you have not fulfilled your obligation. Af domim ha'amurim b'chutz. So to our topic, the korbanos that are done in the azora, specifically the chatos hachitzonios, chiser achas min hamatanos lo osav l'kulum, if you miss out one of them, you haven't fulfilled your obligation. In other words, one would not be sufficient. So at this point, which way should we go? Comparing the chatos hachitzonio, which is our topic, to the domim lemato, that are outside, or to compare the chatos hachitzonio to the chatos hapnimi, coming out with a different conclusion. So, the Bryce asks, so let's see which one it is most closely related to. Namely, which one is the chatas achitzona most closely related? Donin chutz michutz vei donin chutz mipnim. Maybe we should judge external from external. In other words, judge our chatas achitzona, which is our unknown, from the ola, from the korban ola, which is also an external korban, and from there we know, from there one is sufficient. Or maybe go in this direction. Maybe we should judge our external korban chatos that has a reference in the Torah to four corners from another korban chatos which has a reference to four corners, namely the chatos hapnimi, which has a blood application on the four corners of the internal golden altar. The aliochiachutz, and we cannot allow the external sacrifices to prove our case of the chatos hachitzoina. She'ein chatos v'abakronos, the other examples of external courtyard sacrifices, first of all, they're not called chatos, and second of all, they don't have any reference to four kronos, as opposed to, of course, the internal korban chatos, which is called a chatos, and also does have a reference to four corners of altar application. So, if you apply logic, you see that we cannot reach anything conclusive with regard to the chatas hachitzena and the minimum number of applications that are required. Therefore, I have to fall back on the pasuk. Talmud lomar v'chiper v'chiper v'chiper. Therefore, I have the reference to kapora in three parshios of the korban chatas, and this instructs me as follows. Starting off, of course, with the given four, because the Torah makes a reference to four blood applications by a korban chatas. So what happens now is a reduction. V'chiper, the Torah is telling me you can achieve kapor afal pisha lo nasan ela shalosh, even if you don't do all of them, even if you do only three of the four. V'chiper afal pisha lo nasan ela shnayim. And furthermore, you can attain atonement even if you do only two of them. V'chiper afal pisha lo nasan ela achas. And you can achieve atonement even if you do only one. And this would be the source that one blood application for the korban chatas achitzona is sufficient. And this is the source that Beis Hillel would be basing his shita on. The Gemara asks, But v'hai mi boya le legufei. These words v'chiper are needed each one for its respective section in the Torah in which it's found to tell me that the sacrifice affords atonement. In other words, it's not available for number reduction. Omar Rava, Rava answers this. Bar Ado Mori Azbroli. Bar Ado explained to me. Omar Kro v'chiper v'nislach. The pasuk also makes a reference to forgiveness. Zuhi kapora, zuhi slicha. So that the psukim that mention v'chiper, they also mention v'nislach, that there is forgiveness. So I know that there's forgiveness through offering these sacrifices. Therefore, the word v'chiper is still available for what we can term the number reduction that we mentioned just above. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form, and we explain in our marked Gemaras, using the margin, we add topic headings and structural notes. You notice the word nosei is a topic, and mivneh a structural note, and here we've combined the notes into one. We feature this geometric form we sometimes refer to as the crown marking. It's one of our series markings, and we have it around the word emol. We will explain that on the side. Hatsaos, chilufios, alternative suggestions, lomar, deloy oikrim, shum matana. These alternative drushes, if you will, alternative suggestions, will result in not uprooting or undoing any single matana. And unlike we concluded above that one matana is sufficient, rather you need all of the matanas, and the pasuk is simply, the psukim here are coming to tell me that you can change their location. So we have this emor noted as we're about to continue in the Gemara, and also a few lines from the bottom, another emor, once again an alternative suggestion which incorporates the idea of non-uprooting, of maintaining the matanos. This is a question, and we've also indicated that it has a certain amount of length to it. You can see we have a length marker to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. We have the crown marking with a little kuf positioned in it, a kushya, and the vertical dashed line indicates that all of the parallel lines of Gemara to this dashed vertical line constitute the question. Emol, so maybe we should suggest v'chiper afapi shelo nosan ela sholosh lemalo v'yachas lemata, that atonement can be achieved even though he doesn't do all four above where he should, even if he does only three above and one below the midway point of the mizbeach. V'chiper, the second v'chiper, will tell me afapi shelo nosan ela shtayim lemata v'shtayim lemalo, that even if you do only two above and two below. V'chiper, and the third v'chiper is afal pi shelo nosan lemala ela lemata. And the role of the third v'chiper would tell me even if you did nothing above, you rather did it all below. Omar Rav Ado bar Yitzchok. Rav Ado explains or rebuffs this suggestion that suggested that the third v'chiper comes to tell me that all of the matonas can be done below the midway mark. He says, Im kein bitalta turas arba kronas. If you do that, if you suggest that, then I have voided the concept of application at the corners. The concept of a keren exists only above the midway point of the mizbeach. Namely, even if you apply the blood to the edges of the mizbeach, but at the below the halfway mark in its height, namely on the lower half, you haven't fulfilled application on a keren. A keren is once again only that which exists at the edges of the mizbeach above the midway mark. And since the Torah mentions application at the keren, if you follow this last suggestion, I won't have a fulfillment of keren whatsoever, because I will have been applying all of them below the midway mark. The Gemara asks, V'i Rachmona Omar Livtalun. Once again, V'i Rachmona Omar Livtalun. Well, if the Torah, through the use of the word V'chiper, is telling me that idea that all can be done below, so be it that we're avoiding the use or the fulfillment of Keren. And if you'll ask, so then why does the Torah write Keren whatsoever? That we can answer by saying that would be the ideal way. But the psukim here are telling me that even if you didn't do it the ideal way, namely you did all of them below the midway mark, thereby not fulfilling the concept of Keren, that nevertheless doesn't prevent atonement. So at this point we have in effect reinstated the idea that maybe the Chiper is coming to tell me you must do all four applications. However, they can be all done lemata. Oma Rova, Eizehu Davor Shetzorech Shalosh. What is it that we can apply the number three to? After all, the word V'chiper appeared three times. Heve Omer Elu Kronos. This is a reference to the corners. The corners is a reference to, once again, that which exists on the upper half of the Mizbeach. Let's take a look at Rashi. Eizehu Davor Shetzorech Shlosha. V'chiper, what is it that needs three times the word v'chiper? Heve yomer elu kronos, ukidamrinon. And as we said, the cholchad v'chad mi'et chado keren. Each one of the word v'chiper comes to reduce one of the kerens. The komle akeren achas l'akev. And we thereby, after you're reducing kerens, you're left with one that's not reduced, and that's the one that is binding. If, as you suggested in the Emo, in the suggestion that the word V'chiper is coming to tell me that all of them can be done below, then Arba V'chiper Havi Le L'michtav L'Hachshir Arba Matanas L'mato. Then the word V'chiper should have appeared four times to tell me that all four can be done below. But since the word V'chiper appears three times, it can't be coming to tell me this idea that all four can be done below. Rather, it's coming to serve as a Keren reducer, leaving me with one that is Me'akev. And as we said above, Keren is a concept that exists above the halfway mark of the Mizbeach. So I'm left with one that's Me'akev. Continuing in the Gemara, Ema, another suggestion, an alternative suggestion to what we have said above, that v'chiper, the multiple v'chipers come to tell me that one is ma'akev. Eimo v'chiper, afopi shelo nosan elo achas lemalo v'sholosh lemato. Maybe v'chiper is coming to teach me that you can fulfill your requirement by doing all four. However, it would be sufficient if you do one above and three below. So this way, I'm not uprooting any of the blood applications, and I'm also maintaining the idea that I'm reducing the Kerens. I'm reducing three Kerens, leaving me with one. Let's take a look at the Rashi. The Eimo v'chiper, afapi shelo nosan elo achas l'malo v'sholosh l'maton, ulahachi lo ksivi arbo'o. And with this explanation, with this new suggestion, I understand why the word v'chiper does not appear four times. D'chado miho me'akfo b'lemalo. That one in fact, is binding above. Utlas iskashi lemato. And the three others, the three remaining ones, are kosher even if they're done below. Avol me'akrinu lo. But to uproot, to avoid the need for all four, that we're not coming to do. So the Gemara answers, this suggestion is also rejected. Lo motzinu domim shechetzion lemalo vechetzion lemato. We don't have any precedent for sacrificial blood applications part above the midway point and part below. This declaration that we don't find part above and part below gives rise to a series of questions based on the idea that we find a number of examples where you have part above and part below. To indicate the series, we use one of our geometric forms. In this case, we'll employ a trapezoid or a volcano form. And in the outside margin, we also have a nose mivne to explain the topic and the structure. So you see the volcano is featured. kushios al hatshuva. These will be questions on the response the Gemara just gave. Shelomotzinu domim shechetzin lamalo vechetzin lamato, where we don't find blood partially above and partially below. The Gemara asks on this now, below, is that really so? That we don't find partial above, partial below, v'hotanan? This is a source that's dealing with the blood of the Par Yom HaKippurim, the a cow offering that was brought by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. It says, v'hizah mimenu achas lamalo v'sheva lamata. This is a reference to the, as we mentioned, the blood application, and it says one is done above, and seven are done below. So you see the idea of part above and part below. The Gemara answer is no. Hahu kematzlif. There, it's the application is done as a matzlif. My kematzlif. What is meant by that? Machvi Rav Yehuda kemenagdina. Rav Yehuda demonstrated it's a sprinkling action that would be similar to the way lashings are carried out on the on a indicted individual who is guilty of an offense that warrants the lashing penalty. Well, how is lashing done? So the strap strikes the condemned in a movement fashion. In other words, there is a lashing that hit, the first lashing hits the back at a certain point, and then the next one slightly below that, and the next one slightly below that. He's constantly moving downwards. That's the idea of achas lamalo v'sheva lamato. A downward movement, but not a blood application, in the case of the Par Yom HaKippurim, which is designed to be specifically part above and part below. The Gemara brings in another question. He saw, this is a Tanaic source also from Yom Kippur, he saw al tiharo shel mizbeach sheva pe'amim. There is a blood application on Yom Kippur on the altar in the Heichal, the golden mizbeach. And it says there that it's done al tiharo shel mizbeach sheva pe'amim. And we're going to focus on this word tiharo as the Gemara continues. My lav apalge de mizbeach. The word tiaro, does it not mean at the midway point of the mizbeach? Kid amri inchi, as people speak in common speech, you find people say toher tiaro v'havi palge diyoma. They say toher tiaro, which in Hebrew we often use the word tzoharayim, means noon, which is in fact midday. So if we apply this to the blood applications on Yom Kippur, it would come out when the pasuk says v'hizal tiro shel mizbeach sheva pamim, he's doing seven blood applications at the midway point of the mizbeach. Now, if you're aiming for the midway point, it's inevitable that some will be above the midway point and some will be below the midway point. So we do have precedent for part above midway mark and part below. So why can we not suggest in the case of the chatas blood applications that one is done above and three are done below? The Gemara rejects this suggestion. Amar Rava Bar Shilo lo. He says the term tiharo does not mean midway mark. Rather, it means the top of the mizbeach. Agiluya. Giluya is the exposed part, namely the top of the mizbeach. Dichtiv uche'etzem hashamayim lo tohar. So you see the word tohar being used for something that's exposed, something that's clear. The idea of the top of the Mizbeach being called Tiharo, something cleared, this is the case when they move the ashes away to clean off the top of the Mizbeach, they move them away and thereby reveal the top, the roof of the Mizbeach. Hence, when the posuk that was contained in the source at the bottom of Omer Aleph said by Yom Kippur, it said v'hizal tiaro shel mizbeach, it meant there were seven blood applications that would hit the top, the very top of the mizbeach, the roof of the mizbeach, and not, as we thought, the midway point on the side of the mizbeach. The Gemara asks a further question, though: v'ha'ikah shirayim, do we not have the phenomenon of the blood application that's done on the mizbeach and the remaining blood is spilled out on the base of the Mizbeach. So you have the main, the primary blood applications done above, and the remaining, the balance of the blood done below. So we do have a precedent for above and below. The Gemara answers, I can't learn from there. Shirayim lo ma'akvi. The entire action of pouring out the remaining blood itself is not binding. It's, in other words, if it's not done, still one can achieve kapora. So we don't find precedent in the meantime for something that is binding. We were suggesting before that all four blood applications by the chatas are binding, just that part above and part below. So we don't have precedent for that idea. The Gemara asks, Vo'ika shirayim hapnimim de'ika lemado amar ma'akvi. Let us go back to the issue of the remaining blood. In this case, focus on remaining blood of internal sin offerings. Those sin offerings, you have matnas dam done on the mizbeach. They're done on the corners of the mizbeach, internal mizbeach. That's lemalo, that's on the upper part. And the bottom, the shirayim, which are binding in the case of internal sin offerings, those, the shirayim, the balance of the blood that remains after the internal altar applications were accomplished, those are spilt at the base, which is the idea of bottom, of the external mizbeach. The mizbeach sitting in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara answers, that may be a precedent for above and below. However, b'chad mokoim karminan, on one mizbeach, we say, in other words, we say we don't have precedent for this idea of part above and part below that are all ma'akev, that are all binding on one mizbeach. Therefore, we reject that most recent suggestion, which was contained in the crown marking, which wanted to say that you have to have all four, just one above and three below, not so. And we go back to what we originally said, that the words v'chiper come to reduce from the number four down to leaving me with one corner of the mizbeach that needs a blood application by the korban chatas. Namely, that one is me'akev, and that's the source of Beis Hillel, as according to the approach that the Tana suggested. As we go on in the Gemara, we can take advantage of our nosei topic heading that you find on the outside margin. We've written in, Rak hamatnas dam shalachatos hama'akvois mefaglois. Only the blood applications of the korban chatas that are ma'akev. We've been discussing up till now that even though the Torah expects me to do four matnos dam, four blood applications by a korban chatas, they're not all binding. What we're going to talk about now are only the binding blood applications, are mefaglos, have the power to create pigol, namely during which time, if one does a blood application. If you're Beis Shammai, we can talk about two blood applications because you have to do a minimum of two. Two are ma'akev, and according to Beis Hillel, only one is ma'akev. And we are now going to talk about the issue of creating a pigul situation while performing the ma'akev blood application of a korban chatas. Ma'akev meaning the binding one or the minimum required one. To illustrate this, let's just say that if you hold like Beis Hillel that one blood application is binding and the rest are lemitzvah, if I do the first blood application of a korban chatas with the intent of eating the meat outside of the allotted time, meaning chutz lizmano, so if I have this machshava, this thought, to eat the meat while I'm doing the first blood application, that will create a problem of pigul. If, however, I do the first matnas dam, the first blood application, without any improper thoughts, and then I come to, let's say, the second or the third blood application, and at that point, I start thinking an improper thought, namely that I'm doing this blood application, let's say the third blood application, with the kavuna of eating the meat after the time lapses, that will not create pigul, because it's a It's an incorrect mindset during an expendable blood application. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Beishamay Omrim, Shtei Matonos Shebechatos, V'achas Shebechol Hasvochim, Matiros Umefaglos. Beishamay, of course, we mentioned earlier that they hold two of the four blood applications by a korban chatas are binding. So, with regard to a chatas, two matonos, and with regard to all other korbanos, Beis Shammai agrees one is sufficient. So it's during those applications that we achieve heter. In other words, the korban will become muter b'achila if you do this minimum number of applications. Umefagos, and likewise during those applications, and only during those applications, could you create a pigal situation. That's the mindset that deals with the, in this case, doing the zrika with the intention of eating the meat after the time lapses. Beis Hillel omrim achas shebechatos veachas shebechol hazvochim materes umefageles. Beis Hillel, because they hold that a chatos as well, one blood application is sufficient. So Beis Hillel will tell us that the chatos as well as all other korbanos, it's the one blood application that is, on the one hand, is matir, that enables the korban to be eaten if done properly, done without any wrong mindsets, and if done with an incorrect mindset, incorrect thoughts during the process, pigel could be created. But once again, only if it's during that one, or that first matnas dam of the korban chatas. Why not during the second, third, or fourth? Because those are not binding sprinklings, and since they lack the severity of being binding, they also are incapable of being the grounds for pigel to be created. Maskif lo Rav Hoshaya. Rav Hoshaya raises an objection to what we just said, that according to Beis Hillel, even with one blood application, you can already achieve pigel. With regard to Beis Hillel, pigel is not that easily attained. Pigel, of course, represents a stringency, a chumrah, that when pigel happens, the korban becomes forbidden. So according to Beis Shammai, it's more difficult to create the situation of that which is forbidden. According to Beis Hillel, you can more easily achieve a forbidden status. If that be the case, so then Beis Hillel represents a stringency over Beis Shammai. That, namely, through Beis Hillel, I achieve forbidden status more rapidly, more readily. So if that be the case, Beis Hillel, in this argument, is an opinion that represents stringency over Beis Shammai. And if that be the case, this machlokis, this argument, should have been contained in that piece of work, Tanaic literature, that contains a list of cases where Beis Hillel is more stringent than Beis Shammai, which is basically out of character with regard to the nature of their controversies. Generally speaking, Beis Hillel is the lenient one. However, those we'll call exceptional cases where Beis Hillel is the machmir, they are featured in Maseches Eidos. The issue being right now regarding the creation of pigel and how many matnas dam are required, we find Beis Hillel representing the more stringent opinion. If that be the case, this machlokas should have been featured in Maseches Eidos. Let's read the Gemara, the question. Maskif lo Rav Hoshaya im kein, lisnei means it should have been taught, gabi kuli Beis Shammai v'chumri Beis Hillel. It should have been taught in the list of laws where Beis Shammai is the lenient opinion and Beis Hillel represents the stringent opinion. Amalei Rava. Rava answers Rav Hoshaya's question, and he says, Ki itchel, when this issue was raised, namely, what is the minimum number of matnas dam required for korban chatas, it was not raised with regard to how many matnas dam are available or are there to create pigel. Rather, lehetero itchel, it was the issue of minimum number of matnas dam required for chatas was a discussion raised in how many are required to enable the meat to be eaten, to be matir the korban, v'achila. That's the hetera itchil. The havaluhu beis shamay lechumra. According, if you focus on how many matnas dam are needed before the korban is mutter to eat, and you hold two as opposed to one, you at that point represent a chumra. That's a stringency. So in the context of how many are needed for eating, beis shamay represents the stringency, which is in character with most of the shitas beis shamay, and hence this does not appear in Maseches Eidos. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading that you find in the outside margin, the Nosei, Gimel Matanos Achronos Shochatos. We're going to focus on the last three Matanos of the Chatos, working with the assumption that Beis Hillel holds only one is binding, though one is expected to do four, one is binding, the final three are not binding. Those are the Gimel Matanos Achronos. So our note says, Yesh Mehen Kemo Horishona, there are some of them with regard to certain areas. Those three matanos will have the din of the first matana, and with regard to other areas of halacha, they will not have the din of the first. Turning to the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Shalosh matanos shebechatos, Einon bo'ois balayla. They're not to be done at night, just like the first one certainly cannot be done at night. Ubois la'achar misa. They can be done even if the owner of the korban chatos dies after the first blood application was done. The first blood application cannot be done if the owner dies, because that would be called a chatos shemesu baleo. And a chatos shemesu baleo is posel. It cannot be brought. However, if the first blood application was done while the owner was alive, and he died before they did the second, third, and fourth, those final applications can be done after the owner died. In that respect, the last three are not like the first. V'hamala mehen b'chutz, one who sprinkles those three final applications outside the Beis HaMikdash, chayav, he is guilty of Haloas chutz, and in that sense, they are like the first matnas dam. Omer Rav Popo. Rav Popo continues this train of thought, and he says, Yesh mehen ketchiloso, v'yesh mehen kesofo. With regard to certain halachas, the final three are like the first, and with regard to other halachas, the final three are not like the first. And we now present how the breakdown. The issue of chutz, outside the Beis HaMikdash. The laila, issue of offering or sprinkling at night. Zoros, the non-Kohen doing it. Ukli shares, the need to have a service vessel. Keren, the location on the corner of the Mizbeach. The etzba, and the application being done by the finger. Kibus, the issue of the blood staining the droplets of blood from the final three applications, requiring kibbutz, a washing out of the bigdei kahuna, b'mokom kodesh, v'shirayim, and the issue concerning shirayim. Rashi explains on shirayim. He says, chatas shekibel doma ba'arba koisus, a korban chatas that whose dam was received in four separate cups. The Nosan Matona Achas Mikol Echod, and he does an application of one application from each cup. This is, of course, an unusual situation. Usually we do the four applications from one cup, whereby you received all the dam in one cup and did the four applications from the blood in that one cup. But here we're talking about a case where he received the dam in four separate cups and did a singular application from each cup. Kula Nasu Shirayim Lishpoch L'Soyd. The balance of the blood left in each one of those cups is labeled shirayim, to be spilled out on the base of the mizbeach. Af hagimel koisos shirayim shelhen kamo harishona. So we're saying that not only does the first blood application create a situation of shirayim, the balance, the unused blood, goes to the base, the final three applications also will create a the, the will after being done, the balance is labeled shirayim to be spilled on the base. So these halachas that we just listed, chutz, laila, zoros, klishores, keren, espa, kibus, and shirayim, ketchilosan, the final three blood applications are treated like the first. However, misa, lo sharya, velo mefaglo, velo alio legavoy, kesofon. We'll go over these. This section, misa is the idea of, can it be done after the owner dies? So we said that the final three, yes, but the first one, no. Lo sharya, that means that it's the first blood application that is matir the korban. The final three aren't matir the korban because it already became allowed. It became mutar already. So the final three don't accomplish heter. The first one alone does that. The lo mefaglo means if he did the first one, let us say, b'shtika, if he did the first one without any improper thoughts, and then he introduced an improper thought during the final three, they do not create pigel, unlike the first, which would. V'lo aylo l'davoi, Rashi explains, v'lo aylo, ein lohem teras psul knisis pnim. If you take the, after you did the first blood application of the external chatos, if you then took the blood into the hechal, that would not ruin the korban. This is different than a case if you did none of the blood applications and then brought the blood before doing even the first, and you brought the blood into the hechal, that would ruin the korban. That's what's meant by this expression, v'lo aylo l'gavoy. It meaning the final three don't go in, meaning means if they do go in, they don't ruin the korban. Kes sofon. So with regard to these last halachas, the final three blood applications are considered like the end, namely not like the first, not like the beginning. Omar of Popa, Mino Amino Lo. From where do I know that the final three matonas dam, if the blood splatters on the Kohen clothing, that splattering necessitates the process known as kibus. This involves the washing of the Kohen garment in the Beis Hamikdash. So from where do I know that particular point? Now, this appeared in the list of halachas that were just mentioned. Two lines above, we mentioned that the yesh mehen ketchilaso, and in that list you saw the word kibus. So here the question is, from where do I know that that splattering of dam that comes at that point, namely from the three final matonas, if blood splatters on the Kohen Gadol clothing, there would be a kibus requirement. On the side of our Gemara, we have as our tatnose, a subtopic heading, Dinoi shel Rav Papa, de gimel matonos achronos shel chatos tuunos kibus. The din of Rav Papa, that the final three matonos generate the need for kibus. So the Gemara answers this non. We should also note that this takes three lines to answer. We'll present a Tanaic source that you can see in a frame, and then an inference from the source, which will serve as the basis for Rav Papa's din. This non. Nitas min hatsavor ala beged eno toun kibus. Blood that splatters from the neck of the sacrifice onto the garments of the clothing do not require this special kibus procedure, this washing of the clothing in the Beis HaMikdash. And the reason for that is that particular blood that splatters from the neck of the animal was not yet received in a service vessel. So the blood lacks the necessary significance or holiness to generate this kibus requirement. Min ha-keren u-min ha-yesoid, if blood splatters from the corner of the Mizbeach, or from the base of the Mizbeach, which are two locations of the Mizbeach that receive the blood application, that too, eino toun kibus. That does not generate, in other words, the splattering of the blood from that particular point also does not generate a kibus requirement. And this is based on a drasha that we'll see shortly in the Gemara, which says, Asher Yazeh, that when is kibus required? That's that which is going to be sprinkled, but not that which was already sprinkled. However, we draw an inference. ha min haroi lekeren ton kibus. However, that which is destined for the keren, that does require kibus. And what do we mean? What's included in that which is destined for the keren? That includes even the final three blood applications. The Gemara asks. It is noteworthy, before we go further, that there is a little aleph that you see in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. This aleph is going to be used as a contrast point between this point and the bays that you'll find on the Lamed Tes Omed Aleph. If you have that available, you'll notice more than halfway down on Lamed Tes Omed Aleph, there's a name, Ravina, that's circled. And there, the drosha of the issue of the Keren that we saw in the source here, we saw Mina Keren, and from that we inferred that Mina Keren, we said, does not require kibbutz, but Min HaRoi LeKeren does. Ravina will take the same expression, Min HaKeren, but not use it as a jumping point for an inference, but rather he will say Min HaKeren is Mamish, and Min HaYesod is Min HaRoi LeYesod. In other words, when we get to the Gemara on Daf Lamed Tes, we will see a certain point of contrast. Continuing in the Gemara, we're now going to reject, this is a Dechia, and you can see a Dalid that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line. The next several lines of Gemara will be a rejection of that which we just said. We just said that we drew an inference that from the source that said Min HaKeren does not require kibbutz, but Min HaRoi LeKeren does. Uletameich Min HaYesoid Eino Ton Kibbutz. You're going to focus on the source that said that that which splatters from the base doesn't generate kibbutz. Ha Min HaRoi LeYesoid Ton Kibbutz. But that which is destined for the Yesod. And that's a reference to the Shirayim. That's the blood left after the sprinklings were done, after the basic Zrikas were done. The blood that's left is called Shirayim. The Shirayim are destined to be spilled out on the Yesod. Are you therefore telling me that that which splatters from the base itself doesn't generate kibbutz, the need for the washing in the Azora? However, that which is destined for the base does generate kibbutz? But that's not so. Asher Yazek Siv. The pasuk that speaks about kibbutz speaks about asher yazeh prat lezeh shekvar huzah. Asher yazeh is that blood which is going to be sprinkled. In other words, blood that was received in the kli shareis that is about to be used for the sprinkling. If it splatters on the garment of the kohen, it requires kibbutz. That's to the exclusion of that which was already used for the sprinkling. Prat means to the exclusion of lezeh, that the blood shekvar huzah that was already sprinkled, in other words, the shirayim would not generate a need for kibbutz. However, we seem to be in a position that ha min haroi liyasod should require kibbutz. Ha money. So, at this point, we are going to be accepting the Rashi approach to this sugya. This, we have a little asterisk here, and the note on the inside margin says, Ha'ora, Pshat b'Gemara kan shoni b'machlokis Rashi v'toisvis. The explanation of this sugya that goes from here till Daf Lamed Tes, considerably down the page on Daf Lamed Tes, is the subject of a controversy between Rashi and Toisvis. And this you can see in the Tosfos Dibur Masel Hago Ha'amoni, Ulefi Pirush HaTosfos Ma'idekomer Ha'amoni Havisur L'Rav Papa. According to the Tosfos, this phrase is here as a support to Rav Papa. Lefi Rashi Hagemara Doicha Es Nisyonu Sh'Rav Papa Lahavi Mishnah Zu Kemokor L'Shitaso. According to Rashi, the Gemara here is rejecting Rav Papa's attempt to bring the source as a support for his opinion. Klomar, ha money, Rabbi Nechemya. That the Gemara is saying is that the source with its inferences is only according to Rabbi Nechemya. Aval harabbanan cholkim. But the Rabbanan would disagree with what is taught in this source. And hence, if you want to learn the source with an inference that min ha-keren does not require kibbutz, but min ha-roy le-keren would require kibbutz, and cite as that, as a fulfillment of that, the three matonos, the three final matonos of the chatos is roy le-keren, and that would require kibbutz, that's fine and good, but you have to realize that that is according to Rabbi Nechemya. And that's illustrated by the second, by the final clause, which spoke about min ha-yesod, doesn't require kibbutz, and the inference from that would be min ha-roi li-yesod does require kibbutz, and that in effect is saying that shirayim generate the need for kibbutz. That's all fine and good, but that's only according to Rabbi Nechemya. But the Rabbonan disagree. And as our note concludes on the inside margin, v'chol ha-keta hu hemshech mi u-le-ta-amech. That the hemshech of this piece of Gemara is all a continuation of the uletameich that started two lines above this point in the Gemara at the beginning of the line, which we called the dechia. So you notice with our markings, we're marking the Gemara according to Rashi, and as we have introduced it to the introduction to our entire Gemara marking system, that our markings are based on Rashi for the most part. This helps to accentuate the point of difference between Rashi and Tosfos. When you learn the Tosfos, you'll see that he approaches this sugya differently. So we continue in the Gemara. Ha-mani, this source that suggests that Shirayim would require kibbutz, Rabbi Nechemya, Disnan, the source says, Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Shiorei Hadom, Shekrivon Bachutz, Chayov. This particular source does not deal with the din of kibbutz directly. What it says is that shirayim, the balance of the blood after zrikos were done, that's offered outside the Beis HaMikdash, that is chayav, that's chayav mishum haloas chutz, for offering things outside the Beis HaMikdash, which carries with it a very severe penalty. So from the fact that shirayim done outside generates a severe penalty, it shows that shirayim are viewed as dam gomur, as full-fledged dam. And with that, we want to say it would require, if it splatters, if shirayim blood splatters, would also require kibbutz. And this is according to Rabbi Nechemya. The Gemara asks, Eimar d'shamis leiru Rabbi Nechemya linyan halal, midi d'havi avor mufdorim. From this source alone, I don't see that Rabbi Nechemya holds that Shirayim generates a din of kibbutz. All I see from here is that Shirayim blood, if offered outside the Beis HaMikdash, is chayav mishum halah, similar to the way we treat Evorim and Pedorim. Evorim and Pedorim are the limbs of Karbonus, that the limbs and inner organs that are generally offered inside the Beis HaMikdash, if they are offered outside the Beis HaMikdash, they generate a chiyuv, a violation of haloas chutz. Now, those things are not dam, so we see that haloas chutz is a din that's not dam related. Therefore, if I take the shirayim and offer them outside the Beis HaMikdash, I'm in violation of haloas chutz. But that's not necessarily a halacha that's specific to dam. Therefore, as the question continues, le'inyan kibbutz mi shamas lei, but with regard to kibbutz, do we know that shirayim generate a need for kibbutz? The Gemara answers in the Hotanya. This Hotanya is a support. We will see a source in which, even though there's no name, the Gemara will prove after the source that this is taught according to Rabbi Nechemya. And in this source, we see that shirayim require kibbutz. And that is featured now at the beginning, the Hotanya. We see this Hotanya, as we say, is a support to this point that kibbutz is a requirement for shirayim blood that splattered. Vatanya, the source says, Domim Hatunim Yesoid. We use a double underline here to emphasize two different categories. We have Domim Hatunim Yesoid, which is a reference to Shirayim, and there's Domim Hanishpochen La'amo. That's a different situation. That's blood of sacrifices that became posel, or the Dam Shinifsal. Dam that became posel is spilled into a ditch called the Amo and flows outside of the Beis Hamikdash. But nevertheless, the beginning of the source says, Domim Hatunim Yesod, in simple terms, Shirayim, that goes to the Yesod, the base of the Mizbeach, Tunin Kibus. They do require washing if they soil, if Shirayim Dam soils the korban, the clothing of the Kayin, Kibus is required. And there are a number of other halachas featured, Umachshava Mo'eles Bohen, Vehamale Mehen Bachutz Chayov, an improper thought during the Shvicha Shirayim would have an effect, and the offering of them outside the Beis HaMikdash is guilty. V'domem HaNishpachim La'amo Ein Tu'unin Kibus V'ein Machshavu Mo'eles Bohen V'amala Mehen Bachutz Potter. With regard to Posel Dam, so the antithesis of that which was stated in the Reisha is what applies to the Seifa. Man Shamis Lei De Omar Male Mehen Bachutz Chayav. Who have we heard to say that if one is Male the Shirayim Bachutz, he is Chayav? Rabbi Nechemya Hi. That's according to Rabbi Nechemya. By the way, you can see if you look at the arrow that indicates Lamed Ches Amud Beis, the corresponding arrow is found at the bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Beis, and there you'll see an arrow with Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. There you saw the source in which Rabbi Nechemya's name appeared, and it said Shikrivim Bachutz Chayav. That's the Shiorei Adam that is done outside the Beis HaMikdash generates a violation. So we see that this source that has in it the halacha of Haloas Chutz, that was number 3 of the Reisha, the second line from the top, that din of Malim Bachutz is a code, so to speak, for identifying the source as Rabbi Nechemya. And we saw that point on Lamed Ches Amud Beis. So we know this is a Rabbi Nechemya source. The Ka'omar, and it says, Ta'un Kibus. And it says that it requires that Shirayim generates the need for Kibus. So at this point in the Gemara, if we take stock of everything we had Rav Papa at the bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Beis trying to claim that the Sholosh Matonos Achronos of a Korban Chatos require Kibus if they soil the Kohen's garment. He cited a source to back his point up, and it was really the basis for his halacha, his law, was based on an inference from the source. However, that failed at this point, as far as that failed at this point in the Gemara, because we recognized that drawing inferences from that source would lead us to conclusions that the Shirayim would also require Kibus. And it turns out that halacha is that stance that Shirayim is Tolan Kibus is a halacha of Rabbi Nechemya, but the Rabbonon would not agree with that. And it's unlikely that Rav Popa would be citing a halacha that's based on a singular opinion when the Rabbonon would be in disagreement. Therefore, Rav Popa may say what he does, but to cite that source as the basis for his ruling, that cannot be done. We will note, in anticipation of our next shiur, that we started a marking that was at the very top of the page, a crown marking, and there's a number 1 that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, also in a crown. This is explained on the outside margin under our Mivneh heading. We have a crown with numbers indicated to the side 1 through 3. These are Ukimtois Shoinois L'Reisha Shel Braisa B'Reisha Omud. We're going to have different explanations, different ways of setting up the source that we just finished reading at the top of the page, specifically the expression Domim Hatunin Yesod. What is that a reference to? So the first Ukimta, the first way we set it up, was setting it up as Shirayim. That's basically what we just did in our last discussion. As you go down the page, you'll see a number 2, at which point the Gemara changes the explanation to refer to the Shalosh Matanos Shebechatos. And a third approach will make that a reference to Shirayim of the Domim Hapnimim. So it's important to realize ahead of time that this source will be, we'll call it flexible, in the sense that it will undergo different explanations as the Gemara unfolds. But for the time being, we're understanding that Domim Hatunim Yisod, and hence Tunin Kibus, is a reference to Shirayim, which supports the rejection of the Gemara of Rav Popa's attempt to bring proof to his position from the source that he cited at the end of the lower part of Lamed Ches Amud Beis. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.